Blessed to be a pastor of this church. Larry is one of my dear friends, and during COVID, he would sneak up here and we would communicate just so we wouldn't go crazy, not seeing anybody. But thank you, Larry. And at the end of the service, the guys will be there to receive an offering for the Gideons. It goes all to them, and it goes to put Bibles out there. Open your Bibles to James chapter 5. We're looking at verses 7 through 12. When life gets difficult. Now remember, this is Oh Brother, a series about James, the brother of Jesus. And in this passage this morning, James is going to give us four commands about how to live when life gets difficult. Now, you need to understand life gets difficult because we have this problem called sin. Our world is broken. It's broken in relationships. The financial world is broken. We live in a broken world because sin entered the world through Adam. And so what do you do when life gets difficult? And you need to understand is that as a Christian, you're never promised that life is going to be easy. See, some of us think that if we just live right and read our Bibles, go to church, life will be easy. No, that's not true. Life is difficult, and it's full of seasons. There's good seasons, there's bad seasons. So in James chapter 5, beginning in verses 7 through 12, we're going to get four commands about what we are supposed to do when life gets difficult. And to understand verse 7, you have to be reminded of what we talked about last week. I mean, 2 weeks ago. Easter was last week. 2 weeks ago, James told us that there were going to be rich people out there who will oppress the poor. We were told that there would be people without God who would make life more difficult for those who were poor. And listen in verse 5 of James chapter 5. It says, "You have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You have fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter." And then look what he says. "You have condemned and killed innocent people who do not resist you." And even the verse before that, it says, "For listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay." In other words, what was happening is the rich people were persecuting the poor people. They weren't paying them. They were, in some cases, taking their land illegally. In some cases, they were abusing them. And guess who most of the poor people were in that day? Christians. Jewish believers who were being persecuted. So you get to verse 7 and it says this, "Dear brothers and sisters," see how he changed? He's talking to Christians. "Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return." That's a command. Be patient. Probably the hardest command for me to obey. Be patient. We'll talk about it in a minute. He says, "Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen." And then he says it again. "You too must be patient." And then he says, "Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near." Which is a command. Take courage. It's a command in the Greek. You are commanded to be patient, and you are commanded to strengthen or to take courage your inner life. When life gets difficult, what really counts is what's on the inside, not what's on the outside. And then he says in verse 9 another command, "Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. For examples of patience and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know that Job, a man of great endurance, you can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy." But most of all, here's another command, brothers and sisters. Never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Just simply say yes or no, so that you will not sin and be condemned. Four commands that are so practical and so important and so hard to do. The first one is just my worst nightmare. You are commanded, I am commanded to be patient. In the New American Standard, it says, therefore, be patient. In other words, it's connected to the rich people who abuse the poor. In the English Standard Version, we are commanded, be patient, therefore, brothers. In other words, when difficulties come, we are commanded to be patient. Now, most of y'all are thinking, okay, I know what he's talking about. I'm patient. I can wait on circumstances to get better. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about circumstances. That's a different kind of patient. The patient here, okay, get this, because he's going to hit you between the eyes. The patience here he's talking about is not getting revenge when people take advantage of you. It's a word in the Greek that means long fused. A Christian is to be long fused. How many of you popped firecrackers? Have you ever lit a short fused firecracker? It's foolish, isn't it? It's not fun. You want a long fuse so you have plenty of time to get away. And so when James, the brother of Jesus, says you need to be patient, he says you need to be long fused. When someone takes advantage of you, when someone hurts you, when someone, you need to be patient with them. You need to be long fused with them. And that is hard. When someone takes advantage of me, my initial reaction is to get even. I was in Dallas this last week, or Fort Worth actually. Well, I went through Dallas. Nightmare. Reminded of how impatient I am. And I was reminded of my brothers, because I'm born Texan. I was reminded of my brothers in Texas now, sorry guys, I know y'all still live there, how arrogant they are when it comes to driving. And I'm honest with you, I wanted to kill a few Texans. They were cutting in front of me. They do not know about blinkers. They were going way too fast. And my initial reaction, I'm not going to even share, but it was not good. And yet God would look at me and say, Bill, be patient. Julie gets on me all the time. You shouldn't be that way. You shouldn't be that. Well, and she's right. You see, we are commanded when life gets difficult to get even. Oh, we can endure circumstances, but not people. And yet I hate to tell you this. We have more to lose when we're ugly to someone because we ruin our witness. Now, I love what he says here. He says, dear brothers and sisters, talking to Christians, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. And one of the reasons we can be patient until Christ comes back is because we believe He is coming back. And when He comes back, He takes care of those people who take advantage of people, who hurt people. In the end, they're accountable. He says, be patient. Be long-fused. If you want to have a marriage that lasts, you're going to have to learn patience. You're going to have to learn to not react, to not overreact. And James, the brother of Jesus, says, if you're going to make it in this world where people are going to take advantage of you, where people who are going to even hurt you at times, you need to learn that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to be patient. He gives the example. He says, look at the prophets. We honor them. Do you realize that the prophet Jeremiah, read the book of Jeremiah, he's called the crying prophet. He preached for 40 years, had two converts. He was beaten. He was thrown into prison. He was put in a muddy cistern, left to die. And yet, you know what he kept doing? Kept preaching. preaching to the very people who were trying to hurt him. Be patient. Let me read to you what Paul put. Look, if you have your Bibles, flip over to Romans. Romans chapter 12. I hate this passage because it goes against everything my sinful nature wants to do. In Romans chapter 12, verse 17, it says this. Never, never pay back evil with more evil. When that person is evil to you, you're not to be evil back. Now, you want to be evil back. Why? You have a sin nature just like me. You people are no different from me. When people are ugly to me, I want to be ugly to them. It's just as natural as being a human. He says, never pay back evil with evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. In Dallas, in that traffic, I did not want to use honorable sign language. Honestly. And then he says, do all you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, here he says again, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. See, you, when someone's evil to you and you are evil back to them, guess what that makes both of you? Evil. You say, well, mine's righteous evil. Evil. We're commanded to be patient. We're to remember that the Lord is coming back. That is how we live in difficult days. And listen, when you live in a world where there are people, they're going to be mean people. And they're going to say mean things. And they're going to do mean things. And you're going to be tempted to respond back. But that's not what James, the brother of Jesus, says to do. Be patient. I hate that word. Be patient. Second thing, strengthen your spiritual life. Listen, you don't overcome difficult people by toughing it up and pulling yourself up and I'm going to show them and all. No, the way you defeat difficult situations is you strengthen your spiritual life. You go inward before you go outward. The way we tend to do it, we tend to go outward when people are evil to us, when people treat us wrong. And yet you see here in verse 8, the second part, it's a little command. You almost don't even see it in James, but he says in one translation, have courage. But it literally means in verse 8, he says, take courage. It literally means, the Williams translation says, put still on your inside. It's talking about being strong spiritually. Take courage. Another translation says, establish your hearts. Another translation says, stand firm. Another translation says, strengthen your heart. It means get strong on the inside. And the picture is, when you're strong on the inside, you can handle difficult situations and people. But if you're not strong on the inside, you will not be able to handle difficult people and difficult situations. Ephesians 3:14 is a verse that talks about strengthening from the inside. Look what it says. When I think of all this, I fall on my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth, on earth. I pray that from His glorious unlimited resources, look what it says, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. So how do you live in the difficult days that we're in? You strengthen the inside. Listen, all the money in the world can't protect you from difficult situations. It might buy you time, but it can't really prevent cancer from killing you or a heart attack. I mean, it's the inside that gives you the stability to be able to handle the difficulties of life. Another scripture is Philippians 2:13. Another scripture says, for God is working where? In you to do what? Giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. You see, handling difficult situations comes from the inside, not the outside. And so when you're living, that's why it's important, like Larry talks about, getting scripture on the inside. allowing the Holy Spirit to help you live on the Scripture in your life. Those are the things that help you to survive difficult times. He says, take courage, for the Lord is near. He says the Lord is near. What he reminds us of, take courage, be strong on the inside. Why? Because the Lord is near. The best way I can explain that is when I was growing up, and I miss him so much now, when I was growing up, my dad was a huge influence in my life. And I played tennis, and one of the things that just was always a comfort to me is when I was playing, my dad would always watch. And he'd watch at a distance, and he'd be by himself, and whether I won or lost or was about to get into trouble, I knew everything was okay as long as my dad was there. And I didn't have to fear anything. And what James is saying, he's saying, listen, take courage. Daddy's near. Life's getting hard right now. Daddy's near. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't have to fear the difficult times. Why? Because Daddy's near. See, people think the way that I strengthen myself is by focusing on the outside. The truth is, people, you better focus on the inside. It's only through the Holy Spirit working through you that you will be able to survive the difficult times. And then he gets to the third command, and I love this one, quit griping. Quit griping. I never knew when I went into the ministry people would complain about stuff. Boy, was I wrong. It's either too hot, too cold. The music is too loud or too soft. It's too contemporary or too old-fashioned. Yeah, you know, it's like there's always something you could complain about. The preacher doesn't have socks on this morning. I mean, you know, go ahead. There's a million things you could complain about. And yet, do you realize it is a command when he says, don't grumble about each other? I mean, the truth is, every one of you were pretty sorry without Jesus. There's a lot to complain about. But the good news is you know him. But I love this command. He says, don't grumble. And then he gets personal. He says, or you will be judged. Do you know you're accountable for what comes out of your mouth? And I'm telling you something, if you speak against God and his church, that's serious business. You say his church, yeah. That person to your left and to your right is the church. Ooh. Yeah. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. Philippians 2, 14 and 15, Paul gives the same one. And I hate this verse, verse 14. Strike that second word. Do everything. Do everything. Without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you, live a clean and innocent life as children of God, shining like bright. Listen, some people can't see the light of Jesus because of the grumbling of people. Now, our church is pretty good. Y'all, most of the time, we'll take things you don't like of me and make a joke about it, like, Wanda said, well, our preacher doesn't wear socks. But then she gives me coyote socks to wear. And you know, it's like, you know. So I'm 64, Sandy. I'm having more fun than I ever had because I'm too old to really, I guess you could fire me. But I love church and I love our people. And you know, I'm just having too much fun and I've learned so much. And I hate that I'm in the fourth quarter. I hope it gives me extra innings because now I get it. Now I get it. In other words, you don't have anything to complain about. Look at this place. You have lighting. You have sound. We did the cardinal sin. We got rid of pews because they were uncomfortable. Quit griping. But here's what you should do. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 tells you what you should do. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to do what? Acts of love and good works. And then he says, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people. Hey, listen, I'm not going to grumble about you not being here, but I want you here. Unless you're sick. And I'll give you 2 weekends a year, not a month. Some of y'all have got that month down. Not going to mention any names, but y'all love me, don't you? But I'm here, like, why would you not want to be around me and each other? And this ought to be where we encourage each other and motivate each other to live for Christ. Quit. Just be quiet. Quit your griping. And then the last thing, be truthful. It's not talking about going to court and taking an oath. The Jews found a way around everything. And when you're under pressure and stress, you try to use Jesus to get out of tough situations. And so here's what they do. The Jewish people knew that the one thing you couldn't do is you couldn't swear by the name of God. So they would swear by the name of heaven or Jerusalem. And what that really meant was they were fixing to lie to you. It's kind of like today, you know, you cross your fingers. Or, listen, I'm just telling you. If you got to tell me you're going to swear on a stack of Bibles for me to believe you, you've just ruined it. Or, you know, I've heard so many in the church, well, Brother Bill, on God's word. No. Just your yes be yes or your no be no. Quit lying. When life gets hard, just be honest. Just be truthful. It's yes or no. It's real simple. But we try to get creative and we try to rationalize how we're going to get out of things. And remember, one of the biggest struggles James had with these people was their mouth. They tended to not control it. And so James commands us, that's command, be honest. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Even in hard times. Even when what you're going to say is going to make someone upset, just let your yes be yes. Because if you don't have your word, you don't have much. How do you live in difficult times? Well, you're patient. You're patient. You don't grumble. You fix the inside. And you just are honest and you tell the truth. That's how you live in difficult times. We only have 2 more sermons left in James. I'm looking forward to both of them. And then we head to Nehemiah. But I know many of you have difficult times. Just do those 4 things and God will get you through it and you'll grow through it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everybody here, and I thank you for your word and how practical it is. And Lord, I thank you for those 4 commands, not suggestions. May we be obedient to your word, and Father, may we live for you. I ask this in Jesus' name.